Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message I was spending some more time in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, explaining how a religious person can tend to be pushed further and further away from God when they realize that they are not as successful as they would like to be when it comes to living by repentance and obedience. When they discover this, then they will experience within their own minds a sense of rejection, condemnation from God, that He is out of fellowship with them, that He is not approving of them in some way. And so because of His lack of acceptance of these people, His lack of love for these people will tend to be further and further away from God, and instead of experiencing an increase in peace in their hearts and in their lives, you will find that in many cases a religious person will have a decrease of peace and rest in their souls, in their being. Because secretly, they don't want to tell you openly, because if they did, well then, they would experience rejection from you now also. Because within a lot of religious environments, most people are just there in order to compare themselves with somebody else. So if they find out that you are someone who struggles with something, maybe that they don't even struggle with themselves, well now you can be used as someone that they can compare themselves with. This is one of the reasons why people don't want to be that honest in church about the struggles that they are having and the personal issues that they have with regards to being accepted or rejected by God. Because if they did, well then they might experience rejection from these other people who are really only there for the most part in order to compare themselves with other people, and they'll just pick on you now as well. This is one of the reasons why when a pastor falls in some way, you know, they get ensnared or they get discovered when it comes to some kind of sin in their lives, that people will just jump all over that person because that person was supposed to be the one that everybody looked up to, the one who would teach and train everyone how to be holy and how to be righteous. But now that we find out that he's not, well, you know, he's a good person to compare ourselves with. At least we're not like him. This happens a lot. It's really unfortunate. All of this, though, increases the lack of peace that a person will have in their being. For those who recognize that there is another way of life, as is defined by the New Covenant, to live by the inheritance that we have received in Christ Jesus, and not to live by repentance and obedience to the law in whatever way a person may define it, those are the kinds of people who can experience the peace of God, living in the truth, living in reality, not living in denial of the sins that we have and of the struggles that we have, but living in the truth that we genuinely need the forgiveness of God, that we need His grace, we need His mercy, and there would be nothing outside of that. And that we can receive His acceptance and His love for us because of what He has done for us, not because of what we have done for Him. And that His love and acceptance will have an effect in our lives so that we can become a different person than who we once were. But a lot of this is connected to the pursuit of peace between us and our God, so that we can live with a sense of peace in our own hearts, in our own being, because of what He has done for us. In verse 14, Paul starts out by saying, "For He Himself is our peace." And this is why. Because He is the one who provided us with the forgiveness of sins. He is the one who loves and accepts us because of what He has done for us. For the religious person, It's all about what they are going to do for God. It's not really about what he has done for them. It is about what they are going to do or not do. And so their peace is established by the ways that they are able to restrain their flesh. And their peace is pursued by comparing themselves with other people. You know, if they can just find someone else who is evil, who is worse than they are, then they can say, at least I am not like one of those sinners. At least I'm not like one of them. And then they can feel some sense of peace in their hearts as they have compared themselves with someone else. And so supposedly now God is going to accept them more than that other person. You know, they're accepted by their works in that sense, by their repentance and by their obedience. But this form of peace will never last. It is a deception in this person's mind. Eventually, they're going to be reminded of their failures, especially those that they won't let anybody else know they deal with, and then through the rejection of God that they believe that they have now, because God, of course, is disgusted with them more and more, they're going to have a decrease of peace in their being. Why? Because it's all about them. Their peace is being pursued by what they do and by what they don't do. And when they pause long enough in their lives to pay attention to the fact that they are not as perfect as God would require under those kinds of conditions or standards, then they will have no peace in their hearts whatsoever, because it is all about them. In verse 14, for he himself is our peace, means that God is our peace. I don't have peace because of how well I've gotten my flesh under control. I don't have peace because I can compare myself with somebody else who sins more than I do, supposedly. I have peace because he is my peace, because of what he has done for me, not because of what I have done for him. So again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And in the previous message, I mentioned a little bit about how this separation exists. It exists because there is this barrier between God and people, which is not really about sin, although that can be defined as a barrier. The real barrier, the one that is preeminent, has to do with the law. It is the law that is a barrier between us and God. It is the law. Sure, you could talk about sin. I don't want to completely disregard that. I'm not intending to say that, that it is of no consequence, it is of no value. There is a lot that can be said about that. A lot of people do talk about that. I don't need to repeat so much about what other people say when it comes to sin separating you from God. But the law itself also separates people from God. When did this separation happen? This separation happened in the Garden of Eden. It happened shortly after God created mankind to begin with. That's when that separation took place. There was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile, and that is hinted at here in Ephesians chapter 2. And that separation was created by God when he gave the law to Israel. When he set the Israelites free from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, and he gave them the law to define them as a people, to define the nation, and to define the relationship that would exist between God and the Israelites, that did, by default, create a separation between the Israelite and the non-Israelite. And after time went on and Israel broke up or was taken into captivity, and most of the tribes were relatively lost, you had the Jewish tribe that remained. And that's why we talk about the separation between the Jew and the Gentile, because the Jews were pretty much the leftovers of the tribes of Israel. You also had the Benjamites who were assimilated within the Jews, and about half the Levites were represented in the Jews. So to talk about the Jews really meant to talk about three tribes in general. And at this time, when Jesus was conducting his ministry, when Paul was writing his letters, at this time, there was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile, which was the Mosaic law that in general the Jews were living in observance to. Certainly not all Jews, but in general, that's how people would divide between the Jew and the Gentile. But just taking away the Mosaic law, just in and of itself, would not automatically unite the Jew with the Gentile and make them into a new creation in Christ Jesus. It wasn't just about the law of Moses. It was about all forms of law, all religious expressions of trying to obtain your right standing with God or sustain your right standing with God by your repentance and obedience, by living in accordance with the knowledge of good and evil. And so it wasn't just about taking away the Mosaic law in order to unite the Jew and the Gentile because they no longer have the Mosaic law. If that was it, well, then they're just going to build their own law again. There will be other laws. It will still be the same problem. The wall of separation was not just the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was God's contribution to mankind's great effort to try to be like him through the knowledge of good and evil. But it's not all that people have come up with as a way of saying that they are righteous or they are holy. There are many other laws that people have adopted or incorporated within their lives that are not described specifically in the Mosaic law. It's about the entire subject of do we live in accordance with the knowledge of good and evil or not. And this is what happened in the Garden of Eden. This is what caused the fall of humanity to begin with. So this middle wall of separation that's being taken away is a separation between God and humanity. In a small way, we certainly can say that it was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile. But the main separation needs to be recognized as a separation between God and both the Jew and the Gentile, a separation between God and humanity. So I'm going to go back to the Garden of Eden and remind you of what happened back then, because that is the fundamental wall of separation that needs to be removed and was removed by the blood of Christ. In the first three chapters of Genesis, we have enough detail in order to recognize what happened. God created Adam and Eve. He created them to be spiritually alive, which meant that they had the life of God dwelling within them, which was represented as the Holy Spirit of God that was within them. And God gave them the law that in the day that you eat from the wrong tree, in that day you will surely die. And what was that tree? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the tree. It was about the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 3, they were tempted with the satanic lie that if they only knew what was good and evil, then they could be like God. It was a temptation of becoming good. It was a temptation of becoming better than who they were at that moment from their perspective. It was not a temptation of, here is your opportunity to now engage in evil. It was not about that. The satanic lie was that it was God who was dishonest, who did not want them to know what was good and evil and to live by that, because if they did, then they would be better than who they were. That was the nature of the temptation, that there was something better. But it was a lie. When they ate from the wrong tree, and that day they surely died, it was a spiritual death in the sense that the Holy Spirit of God that was breathed into them upon creation was withdrawn. God accepted their rejection of him by withdrawing himself from within them, and so they became spiritually dead. Now, when you've got a living God and a spiritually dead person, there clearly is a separation between the two. There is a clear separation between God and Adam and Eve when He withdraws His presence from within their being and they end up being spiritually dead. That is a serious separation. And that was the beginning of humanity's effort to try to be like God or to be a better person or whatever through the knowledge of good and evil. God contributed to this great effort through the giving of the Mosaic Law. But this law created a barrier between God and the Israelites. He created a barrier between Himself and the people through the giving of the law through Moses, through the giving of the law that is referred to as the law of Moses, when He gave this law to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, when He set them free from slavery in Egypt to define the nation. He was their God. He did have a relationship with them, but He created a barrier, a wall of separation between Himself and the people. There was already a wall in the sense that they were spiritually dead. There was already a wall in the sense that they were already living in accordance with their own beliefs with regards to what was good and evil. So even though He gave them a formal definition of what is good and evil so that they could live closer to reality, that didn't necessarily mean that they were now going to be near to God. They weren't. They were nearer to Him in some ways in the sense that He was a participant in their lives and they were participating in the work of God. We could talk about different ways that they were kind of near to God, especially in comparison with the rest of the people in the world. But this wall of separation was clearly established at this time. And what it would do would create a permanent state of rejection from God, because the people would never comply with the law in its totality. It would create a permanent state of rejection, a permanent state of separation, a permanent state of a lack of acceptance, a lack of love, a lack of peace between the people and their God. It created a conflict between God and the people that would continue as long as they were near enough to each other that they would interact. It was a history of God and the people being close enough that they would interact. They had a relational experience with each other, but it was a relentless experience of being personally rejected by their God because of their failure to repent and obey and comply with the law that He gave. Now again, if they didn't have the law of Moses, they could use whatever law that they came up with. They did not necessarily need to have that. But this was something that God did, not to draw the people near to Him, but to keep them at a distance in order to keep them far enough away that there would be complete recognition that there was a separation between God and the people that existed in the midst of the relationship that He did have with them. Now, how was this wall of separation eventually taken away? The only way that it could be taken away is if you take away the law. How was the law taken away? It was taken away through forgiveness. The law demanded obedience or death. When God showed up personally, He lived in obedience to the law Himself. He fulfilled the law in that respect. But for us, He died on our behalf. So that was how the law was fulfilled. It was fulfilled by death. It was fulfilled by the death of God, because He's the only one who had a life worth giving. He died on our behalf. That was the expression of the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of God. It was by meeting the demand of the law of either obedience or death. And for us, it had to be death because there was no way that anyone was going to obey to the satisfaction of God to live in accordance with the knowledge of good and evil as He defined it. So that's what He did. And that's how it was fulfilled. So the law, the demands of the law, the requirements of the law have been fulfilled. Therefore, they no longer have an official place in our lives. They no longer have a place in our lives when it comes to having peace with God, when it comes to having a relationship with God. The law no longer has a place in our lives in that respect. Now, it doesn't mean that the law does not have its value. It has its value in many ways. There is a lot that I can learn about the character of my God. There are many prophetic inferences that are expressed through the law that He gave. I can still use it with religious people in order to show them that they are not as impressive as they think they are, or as impressive as they would like to pretend to be. So the law can still be used in many ways when it comes to governing our relationships in this world, in this life that we have. Of course, we can learn a lot about how to establish proper relationships with other people and how to manage those relationships with other people by looking at the Mosaic Law. There's a lot that can be learned from the law that God gave, and so it certainly has great value in many ways that we can definitely take advantage of. But when it comes to having peace with our God, when it comes to having a personal, interactive relationship with Him, it has to be completely removed from our personal interactions with our God. Now again, there are many times when I personally have conversations with my God about the law that He gave. I ask Him questions. I ask Him for insights and for understanding and to show Himself through the law that He gave. And from what I can tell, there are endless opportunities for God to relate to me, to teach me, to grow me, to disciple me, to help me to understand the reality that I live in through the law. But we do not use the law as the means by which we obtain or sustain our right standing with our God. It is a topic of discussion. It is an opportunity for education. It is a means by which we can grow and mature in the faith, but it is definitely not the means by which we obtain the love and acceptance from our God or how we maintain and experience a permanent sense of peace with Him. That's what it means to have this middle wall of separation removed, broken down and taken away. That's verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He broke down the middle wall of separation between Himself and humanity. When the law was taken away, people could look at that and they could say, okay, that which defined the differences between the Israelites and the non-Israelites now no longer exists. Now they can all have peace with each other. Now they can all be at one with each other. No, that was not what God was talking about. Each person, the Jew and the Gentile, became a new creation. They became a new person who would be one with one another through salvation, through embracing the new covenant, through being made spiritually alive through the restoration of the Holy Spirit. He made both one through resurrecting each one, through taking away the law that was a barrier between Himself and the Jew, and also a barrier between Himself and the Gentile. Because why? Because they had their own systems of law. Even though it wasn't the Mosaic Law, they had their own. There were many walls of separation, all of which were taken away in the same way. And I will continue into verse 15 in the next message.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.